It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub Headlines.
We had two very impressive wins last night for the local teams. At TD Garden, the Bruins ran right through Montreal, beating them 5-1 in a game that really wasn't even that close. Brad Marchand followed up a broken nose on Tuesday night with his fifth career hat trick yesterday evening.
Now I think, you know, we have good momentum going for us now. Hopefully it continues all year, but I'm sure there'll be times where it's going against us and we have to find a way to get it back. That's just how the season goes. There's lots of ups and downs, and you just have to stay even keel the whole time.
Bruins have now won 6 out of 7, and the newly signed Tuukka Rask is expected to get the start in net tonight when they continue a 7-game homestand against Philadelphia. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the pregame game at 6:30 and the face-off at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics swept their home-and-home from Indiana last night, 119-100. Jaylen Brown scored 34 points, Jason Tatum 33. The Green have now not only matched their longest winning streak of the season with 3 straight, they're back at 500 for the first time in 3 weeks. They visit the Philadelphia 76ers tomorrow night. Portland cornerstone Damian Lillard will undergo abdominal surgery. He's out at least 6 to 8 weeks. Patriots were out at practice outdoors yesterday with a game coming up in Buffalo Saturday night. Starting left tackle Isaiah Wynn and linebacker Jamie Collins were both missing. And the Minnesota Vikings have reportedly requested to speak with Patriots senior consultant Elliot Wolf for their GM opening. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. They want to help you prepare your car for all your 2022 road trips. They offer completely contactless service with their 15-minute drive-through service. You don't even need to make an appointment. Visit getanoilchange.com for a coupon to save on your oil change. I'm John Wallach on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 6:30.
Boston's most listened to sports station. You don't have to be in Boston to listen. Download the Sports Hub app where you get your apps and listen anywhere to Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Bop-do-zop, bop-do-zop.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season 4, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have 4 recliners. He has 3.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Beamed throughout five radio stations.
Yep, five.
Five.
All throughout the New England area.
And throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
On the internet there and on the Twitch at twitch.tv. Or how many Twitch people now on a day? 350, 400. So we've doubled the usuals from only 2 years ago. We are stacking, baby.
I tell you, we're slowly building that Twitch audience after 5 years. This that is means fantastic.
In only what, 3 or 4 years, we'll have four digits? That's kind of awesome.
Unless we have a woman in here, then we're good.
No.
That's never going to happen again. But
fully clothed. Fully clothed, nothing going on.
Oh, of course.
And you'll get... No. But what I'm saying is...
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, if it was like naked chicks or something, you could see.
Oh,
but
geez,
like just a woman.
I just remember when Nora came in here and then the numbers were through the roof. And Nora, nice woman, came in here, sat down, whatever. She was just fully clothed. And the numbers were what? $4,000, $5,000. It was crazy.
Can we just have like Nick pull a Lola Bunny and just show up with like a wig on? Maybe it will fool some people, possibly.
When you were a kid, did you ever like have a crush on a animated like woman?
Well, there was, of course, when Roger Rabbit came out, and everyone was like, whoa, you know, that was kind of insane at the time.
That's like a kind of like a real woman. Like, there's an episode of Bob's Burgers where the kid is on a cruise. They get held hostage on a cruise. And one of the performers on the cruise is trying to get money out of the kid. And he has a female puppet that he uses. As you can't see, Rich, unless you're on Twitch, or on the Zoom, I'm using my hand as a puppet.
Oh, okay.
See, because that's how I'm a very animated talker. and he uses his puppet, and the kid like doesn't know how he feels about the puppet. I recall a Yogi Bear cartoon. Like, this was not sexual. Just like I think that might have been or Brenda Starr was another one, but that I realized I liked women. Like, I didn't know what sex was. I was feeling no sexual feelings.
But you read the comic strip and you're like, hey.
Yes. And then the Yogi Bear one, it was just like Yogi Bear with like a wig. But for some reason, I was enraptured.
For me, it was Madam from Solid Gold.
Yeah, but then I actually banged Madam.
That's just you.
Yeah, that's how I...
Dionne Warwick, step aside. Here we go.
That's how I got a hole in my groin. Yeah, to John,
you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it.
For John, it was unbelievable that you didn't use Dionne Warwick as fuel. That's how old John is. He's like... Yeah, with Dionne Warwick sitting right there, like, you're really going to go to Madam?
I know the way to San Jose. Don't you worry.
Madam and Lady Elaine might have been the two most terrifying puppets. Yeah. That kids were exposed to when we were... I mean, I remember on Mr. Rogers, they would go to Lady Elaine, and Lady Elaine looked like a burn victim.
Well, that whole land of make-believe was very, very frightening.
Yeah, like, I mean, the king was weird. Even the Catman was strange. Everything was odd about
the idea that he put the... that Mr. Rogers put the... Didn't Mr. Rogers put the cat on his hand?
I don't remember that.
It went meow, meow, meow.
Meow, meow, meow. I love doing this meow, meow. Like, you'd like throw that in. I don't know. Was that him doing the voice?
I thought that was him. Like, some of the others weren't him. But I obviously, the speedy delivery was a human.
Yes.
But I believe that was him. What's funny is there's this, like, documentary, you know, about Mr. Rogers. And people are like, it's, like, unbelievable. And I will give you this. Is there is a scene where he's testifying in front of Congress about funding PBS, and there's this like a-hole Southern jackass,
sitting up on his big podium,
and who's like belittling him, and Fred Rogers actually convinces him to give the money. So that, I will give you, is a powerful 15 minutes. But other than that, you're like big deal. Like, they paid the. I think we've been through this, but they paid the guy. Like, he got compensated for his work. It wasn't like people were like, he's so amazing. You keep waiting for, like, the amazing thing to happen. Like, he was a paid child performer.
I guess, you know? He did do all the puppet voices, which
he did them all.
I had no idea. He was like a, you know, what a talent. He's like that radio guy that we love. What's the guy? He used to have conversations with himself on the phone. Oh, what was that guy's name? He's like my favorite. Oh, my God.
Phil Henry,
the most talented radio personality of all time.
Well, he was the most unique radio personality.
I still think the most talented to do that every single night and to be able to carry on an entire conversation.
Yeah, but there's guys that
yourself.
There's guys that do 4 hours of talk. I mean, there's different varying. He had a unique skill. And I saw him do it. It was amazing to see. But, I mean, and it was very unique. It was, I wouldn't call him the greatest radio personality.
I said the most talented
radio talented
personality of all time.
Yeah. No, because it was just a unique thing that he did.
And I would actually say there's probably no radio personality I've been more entertained by than him.
Yeah, like, but I would defy you to listen to that every night.
That's fair, because I didn't. I mean, he was never in my market. I would just listen to, you know, clips of him. And, sure. I mean,
he was in your market. He was on in Atlanta. You just weren't listening to him. But he was on in Atlanta. He was on everywhere.
When I lived there? I don't know.
It was in the middle of the... When I lived there, he was on. He was just on at, like, on W...
Oh, he was. That's right. Yes. That's where I first started. I mean, that's right. You're right. He was for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then I moved and he was gone. But that dude is nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember he would do three voices at the same time. He would do the person... He would do himself, the person he was interviewing, and then a caller. And he had, like, two different phones and the voice on his own and would just yell at himself over and over again. But
yeah.
It was always something just to rile up the listeners, these fake guests that he had.
Yeah, Jimmy and I went and watched him one night do it. And, he just had a phone in his – two phones in his hands and then the microphone.
Ugh.
And he's potting everything up and down. But I'll tell you this, is that he didn't do that the whole show. It was like a 3-hour show, and he talked like, and when he talked, it wasn't very good. And I would defy you to listen to that 5 days a week. It would be very difficult. Listen, he was on in L.A. and a lot of people checked him out, and he got a ton of voice work. Is he still alive? I think he's still alive.
I think he is.
Which
he
is shocking if you've ever seen the guy.
It's funny, yeah. Did he do a bunch of stuff for Mike Judge?
He did a bunch of voices on King of the Hill. He was on the show Marin.
He's the voice of intelligence in Team America World Police.
Yeah.
How do you spell his last name?
H-E-N-D-R-I-E.
He's only 69?
Yeah, he's still alive.
He's only 69?
Yep.
Wow, because there's an episode of Marin, the Mark Marin show that was on IFC, where he's driving around and he hears Phil Henry for the first time. So he just drives to the radio station and, like, rings the doorbell. And the whole episode is about Phil Henry. And Phil Henry ends up quitting radio and blah, blah, blah. And it's because Marin did radio. It's an episode about how horribly radio personalities are generally treated.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he ends up having sympathy for them and sympathy for Phil Henry. But the idea that that guy's 69 is hachi machi. Woof. I thought he was 80. I mean, he is...
Yeah, he's one of those guys that looked old when he was born.
Yeah, well, and did not take care of himself in a really, really bad way. He was on New Girl, and like they required him running for like 5 seconds, and you can tell it's like one take only. You ain't getting me up this hill again.
You know, it's funny. They're the only other radio personality that I would put almost the same level as far as just like pure entertainment was, of course, Art Bell. And I've told stories about how I used to listen to Art Bell all the time. And Art Bell was a guy that came on at like midnight to 6 a.m. And, you know, all of his shows were about the invisible helicopters that are after us, Bigfoot, their UFOs. And this guy, you know, sounded like he was all in on it. I mean, he's the guy I told you had the story where somebody sent him a tape. Someone had lowered a microphone into hell, and he had an audio recording of hell. And you know, it's one of those things where you're listening to it, and you don't know if it's a ruse, but by the end of it, you know, you're totally all in. And you can see how people can kind of get suckered into believing stuff on the internet because this guy was such a great storyteller. So years later... the guy who ended up being my agent was Art Bell's agent, and I think I had a full 30 to 45 minute conversation just about what this guy was like. And that guy was 1,000% sincere about all of that. As a matter of fact, when he said he broadcast from the kingdom of Nye, you know, I always imagined that being this little thing in the middle of the desert so no one can find him, and it truly was a camper in the middle of the desert that he used to broadcast from.
Yeah, I don't think they paid him much. Like, I think that he just wanted to spread his information.
Oh, yeah. Like he felt like it was a public service to let the world know the truth.
Yes.
And this was not an act in any way, shape, or form.
Have you ever seen the guy? Like,
But I thought it might have been just he was like this great performance artist or something.
You couldn't do it for that long. You couldn't do it 6 hours a night for 40 years. There's no way.
Like the amount of like the weird ways that that my agent like had to gain access to his place. It's all just it's amazing.
Well, didn't his kid get kidnapped?
That was an awful story. So,
he's playing around with all these psychos and like his kid gets kidnapped. Like,
yeah, it was more than that, but it was just an awful an awful story. But he's no longer alive. But if you ever get a chance to listen to some old Art Bell stuff, he was perfect. Whenever my band would be coming home in the middle of the night and there was nothing else on, Art Bell would be on and we would just be locked in because he'd freak you out. The best storyteller of all time. And by the end of it, you would believe in the Loch Ness Monster. You would think that, you know, there had been alien invasions that we just didn't know and didn't see.
There was a lot of letting the callers talk. There was a lot of, like, he wouldn't hang up on no one.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the guest experts, he would let them just go.
They were all published authors, Rich. I mean,
pamphlets.
Yeah, they were Kinko's authors. Yeah, that guy was tough.
That was
a tough listen. But again, I can't. I would be curious to ask your agent how much that guy made because I have a feeling that we've hit the nail on the head is that it wasn't about money for him. It was
about spreading
that information.
Oh no, he was everywhere. He was on like in a million markets, but it was always midnight to like six. You know, that was the only place where they would put it. But oh my God, creepy stuff, man. If you want to hear what hell sounds like, just Google that. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I never grew up with Stern, but obviously I loved Stern. But Neil Rogers was the guy that I organically heard. Phil Henry, I heard organically as well. But again, Phil Henry was tough to listen to after a while. But Neil Rogers was on in Miami, and he was this gay guy on an AM sports station.
You know, WQAM?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I was the first time I drove to Key West. My friend was like, put Neil Rogers on. Like, you know, my friends were from Florida. And I was like, I cannot believe this guy's saying this stuff on the radio. He's like, sell your stock, your Cox broadcasting stock. He's like, that son of a bitch. He's like naming the guy and like naming the CEOs and going crazy and making fun of Cubans and like, oh hachi machi. I was like, this guy is electric. Now, he didn't live long because I have a feeling that's a tough life where you're fighting every day, like just like just at it every day.
There's only so much energy you can put out.
But the idea that this guy's on an AM right wing leaning sports talk radio show and he's this outward gay guy and just gave zero Fs. You can hear, and that's someone to YouTube, because they'll have Neil Rogers stuff up there, and you'll be like, wow. And he wasn't doing, he was just so pissed.
He was angry all the time.
But he was so funny.
Yeah.
He was so funny. Like, it wasn't, it, like, he did it in like, such a funny way. Like, it wasn't, you know, these lib, like, he was already such antagonizing just because of who he was. And the way he just dismissed anyone who questioned him was absolutely fantastic.
It's so funny because I've heard him, and I agree with you. I mean, the guy's awesome.
Yeah.
And just the little bit I've heard of him. But what's amazing is that personality has been copied.
Co-opted,
And duplicated. So I don't think there's a personality in radio that I hate more than that type. I'm raging against management, and everyone should be fired.
Yeah, because you have
I
to understand.
Stand
when,
it.
When I first heard it, like, it was like, what is this? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Once it becomes a cliche.
You turn it on, like, now when you hear that?
Yeah,
I can't think of anything more just... It's just awful. Bad radio because it's all been done.
It's
and
been
on top
done.
Of it, yeah. And it's
it would be like having lesbians in studio. Like when Stern first did it, I suppose. Like it was, even though I always thought it was the weakest part of his show, I suppose it was like, oh, wow, I can't believe this guy's doing it. But if you did it now, you'd be like, all right, right, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like, it's all been done. But I have to say, when I first heard it, he to my knowledge, was the first guy to really, I guess Steve Dahl and stuff, but he was the first one where I was like, he wasn't like swearing or anything. He was just like, I'm like, I can't believe this guy is saying this crap. And then making fun of Cubans. And I'm like, you're in Miami, dude. All right, Rich, the old home team.
Yeah.
They were on their respected surfaces last night. And
two nice ass kickings last night. It was a feel good evening if you were a fan of the old local ball clubs.
Yeah, and, or else you coached practice from 7:30 to 8:30 and then from 8:30 to 9:30. And then you missed everything. All right, we'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening, you are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't. Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
Wins from your local teams.
Impressive.
Some of you might have been able to watch them. Some of you weren't trapped in a gym.
No, you were influencing young minds. You were encouraging. You were working away, teaching teamwork. That's what you were doing.
No business coaching the older boys.
No business. No school sports in my city.
Yeah, good. That's good. They should really, deprive the kids of as much as you can. Yeah. Just
shut them all back
out.
Inside. It worked well the last time.
Yeah, it's gonna. They're gonna grow up fine.
I think practice starts back up possibly next week, and then if things are cool, maybe eventually they'll consider possibly having sports again in, I don't know, a month or three.
Yeah, there's been no doctors or anybody who's come out just talking about the negative effects of canceling all this stuff on children and been giving up these dire warning signs. It's very hard to find.
Lock the kids in their rooms with their iPads. That's what I say.
If only someone would testify in front of Congress or if any of these experts would come out and speak. They all have. The idea that people haven't just gone, all right, there's a big issue. We cannot deprive these kids of these things for a second year in a row. But good. Good. Keep them home. Keep them away from each other. That's good. That's the way you want them raised. And then when there's an apocalypse, when we're all old and unable to defend ourselves, and these kids are all COVID kids going nuts, we will have reaped what we sowed, ladies and gentlemen.
That's quite a line to be drawn. We went from kids not practicing and playing for a week to
lack of leadership under a nuclear attack. I like that. You guys have obviously, you have children. I would know that you've done this. You've obviously It's not hard to find. You've looked into the adverse effect of all this on the children.
Oh, come on. We live with kids. We know.
Yes, absolutely.
Is.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not.
This is not something you could, even if you tried to ignore.
Yes,
I mean,
thank
right
you.
There in your face. Of course.
Right. So thank you. I mean, I'm not talking out of my ass here. I mean,
no. I just thought, as John said, defending against an apocalyptic alien invasion, what that's going to yeah. do.
I just know that we're going to look
at. Turns into Independence Day, and who starts running?
Where's Art Bell when you need him?
Exactly. All I know is that we're going to look around and go, whoa, well, I guess that was not good. There's going to be a moment of reckoning, and it might be sad more than
Listen,
dangerous.
I understood it 2 years ago when there was no vaccines and there was, you know, a much stronger virus. It's a little different now. Things have changed. The game has changed. But then again, who the hell am I? I'm a dumbass who speaks.
Well, you got to say, you have the pulpit. You got to say, I mean, listen, we don't weigh in on many issues, but this is, I think, worthy of it. You have the pulpit. You got to say it. It's not good. And they know it's not good. And I'm just curious as to why they want to keep the kids away from each other. But nonetheless, the local teams are allowed to play.
They are.
They're allowed to play in front of audiences.
Yeah. And they played well. Ever since he got his nose smashed, Brad Marchand has been on fire.
Puck rimmed over to the near side, scooped up by the Bruins. Marchand, a lead pass ahead. Bergeron, center circle. Over the line, high slot. Left circle, Moore shoots. Montembeau, the save. Rebound. They score! The man is a menace. Brad Marchand with a hat trick, a shorthanded goal. Bruins 4, Canadiens nothing.
The Bruins have been a steamroller in their new year, and Brad Marchand, the driving force. He gets a hat trick, picks up the most flamboyant of hats off the ice to keep as a souvenir, and the Bees, they blow out the Canadiens 5-1. It's their sixth win in the last seven games. Even Jake DeBrusk had a nice bullet that hit off the body of Curtis. It was Lazar, right?
Yeah, Lazar got the goal. Yeah, he got credit for the goal.
Right, which probably shouldn't. Because he just went off his foot. But either way, you know, look good to see DeBrusk, you know, back into it. But you know that any lopsided game between the Bruins and Canadiens is going to come with just a little bit of chippiness.
Along with a couple other Bruins, and now you've got Chris Weidman taking exception. He pulls Eric Halla out of the mix. Halla has him in a headlock. Halla now grabs a hold of Weidman as those guys hit the deck.
Here goes
Here
Carlo
go.
And Pezzetta
Carlo's
are going to go.
Drop him with Pezzetta in the near corner.
Well, Pezzetta's gloves are still on. Carlo's are off.
Pezzetta did not drop him, and Carlo was disgusted, shrugging his shoulders, wondering why Pezzetta didn't take him up on the offer.
And Weidman took a little shot at somebody down there.
Oh, it was a headbutt. Weidman with a headbutt on Hall.
Ooh, and it was a bad one, too. Chris Weidman with a headbutt that most likely is going to get him suspended. Headbutts just always seem like the worst way to injure someone. It's like saying, I'd like to hurt you, but I also want to give myself a concussion in the process.
Oh, no. Headbutt is you're using the strongest bone in your body.
Top of your head. Top of your head. Oh, strongest
headbutt,
bone.
The headbutt is the way to go, my friend.
Yeah, that was as cheap shots go, that's pretty nasty.
Well, Hall, what I did see is I saw the last, I mean, very crucial 8 minutes of the game, and Hall was up on the bench yelling at the Montreal bench.
Yeah.
Like throughout the third period,
yeah,
like he was none too happy.
Who Bergeron had to take a penalty. Who got smashed behind the net?
Oh God, I forget.
Because the Canadians have their version of a goon running around. The guy who looked like Ty Anderson said he looked like he belonged in Bachman Turner Overdrive. Some guy.
What does he know about PTO?
My wife laughed at his tiny face. Like he's got like a tiny face. It's like a big head, tiny face.
Right? Was he the guy in the late scrum? What was the worst fight in Bruins history? Where there was. They started, and then the Bruins player, I forgot who it was, fell on his ass. I'm really analyzing here.
Fred, I got to be honest. After like they had scored five, and Marchand had his hat trick in the second period. So, I mean, after that.
That's all I saw, though.
I was flip watching the Celtics.
I can only relate what I saw, which was the final 8 minutes of the game, which I was tuned into. I couldn't keep my eyes on it.
It was fun for me because, regardless of the circumstances, I really enjoy when the Canadians are lousy.
Well, I'll tell you.
I really have a lot of fun, and it makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, the Canadians went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year.
Yeah, which is weird because I don't remember that. And now
they lost their goaltender, Carey Price, because
right.
he's got mental problems or emotional problems.
Right.
Shea Weber, their best defenseman, might have had a career-ending injury, which he played with during the playoffs last year. last year. He's out all of this year at least, and maybe that might be it for him. And they've completely spun into a ditch. It's fun to watch.
But you are not alone. The national broadcasters in the, because I watched the final 8 minutes of the game, were yes. very impressed by the Boston crowd staying focused and wanting to see fights. I mean, because that's yeah. why you stick around at that point, is yep. you want to see chippiness.
Dan said the name, and he's right. Michael Pezzetta is the guy you're
Pezzetta,
talking about.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, yep,
tiny
yep,
face. Yep. And he does look like he's a member of Bachman-Turner Overdrive. Ty Anderson, that is a good observation.
Ty Anderson doesn't know nothing about the drive. He doesn't know nothing about BTO.
I don't know. Maybe those guys are friends with Gary Cherone, his uncle. Who knows? Well, another great thing about Marchand's night last night was that he was mic'd up. And before the game, the NHL on TNT crew was talking to him, and here's how things went.
But nowadays, with the mics and everything, you got to be careful. There's a lot less of it. And, you know, like, there's some things you say sometimes. You're like, I hope they didn't say. All right, there you go, right there. You know, but, so, yeah, that's, it's fun, though, right? That's part of it.
Oh. Don't worry about it. It can't be worse than what Biz is going to say in the studio anyway.
Now, who's this again, Biz fella with the mustache?
Bissonette. It's,
Paul Bissonette?
Yeah, Paul Bissonette.
Bissonette. Yeah, when Thornton was on, Thornton with us, he would talk about Bissonette. He said, always said that Bissonette has a great personality. Bissonette was an agitator.
But like, Bissonette, is he the guy that went to Yale?
No, I don't think that's him.
No, that's a Greek guy.
Yeah.
But last night after the game, he had a headdress, like a fur headdress on in sunglasses. And I got to tell you, they were trying.
Oh, yeah.
He just went, you are trying really hard.
You know what? I don't. Whatever about the studio crew. I mean, they're trying to get that all worked out. They're obviously trying to copy the NBA on TNT's formula, but the actual presentation of the game itself is excellent. Like they do, like the TNT does a really good job.
But
I don't know if that's an indictment on Nesson or if it's just that it's just they do a great
job. Nesson doesn't try. What, you think Nesson's out there trying?
I mean, it does. It's like it just seems flat at times. Maybe
please,
three guys standing in a cavern of studio just talking.
Yeah, and then they don't even have the play-by-play guy travel with the team. And then
that's a shame, man.
I mean,
you can tell
they don't even get the their own video on the road. I mean, Nesson's not trying.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they love COVID more than anything. They love it. They can save all the money in the world. They don't have to buy. Their way on the Bruins plane anymore.
But by the way, Fred and John, I was flipping back and forth between the two. Was that, I didn't hear any more mic'd up Brad Marchand stuff. Was there more that I just didn't get to hear?
Or did they
kind of shy away from it after that moment? I'm not sure.
I too was focused on the Celtics first and Bruins second, and I, from what I saw, they had a little bit of Marchand after his second goal, you know, peacocking a little bit, but I didn't hear much else.
Yeah, because what a night to have him mic'd up. You would have thought that it would have been, especially, you know, fairly chirpy with the Canadians. I didn't hear any more, but then again, as I said, I was flipping back and forth. So if there was some other good stuff, then maybe I wouldn't mind hearing it. But next up, the Flyers head to the TD Garden tonight, and more importantly, for the first time this season, it might be Tuca time. And according to Cassidy, he might not look like full Tuca, but maybe partial Tuca.
He's going tomorrow. We know that it's going to be his first game somewhere. It's going to be his first game this year in a Bruins uniform at some time. So happens to be tomorrow. We know that he hasn't played in months. He's told us he's ready to go. I believe in him. He looks great in practice. It's going to be the usual stuff, Kevin, of your first game. Like I said, there's going to be a little bit of rust you'll have to shake off in certain areas of the game. And hopefully we play well in front of him, allow him to get through that.
They were chanting his name last night. Don't know if you heard that, even though he wasn't playing. A lot of people glad to see him. But once again, tonight's the night. Puck drop is at 7 o'clock, and most likely he'll be the guy in net, fresh from a dinner at Buff's Pub, I'm sure.
After. Mm-hmm. After. That's where he goes after the games. All right, Rich, when we come back, I guess the Celtics are on the plate.
Mm-hmm. If they continue to play the way they did last night, then maybe, just maybe, we might be seeing something.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. There you go. Well, here are the headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins tore apart Montreal last night, 5-1 at TD Garden. They're now 6-1 coming out of their COVID break. Brad Marchand, a hat trick. Bruins will play Philadelphia at the Garden tonight. Tuukka Rask expected to start in net. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the pregame at 6:30 and the faceoff at 7 on the New England Honda 98.5, the Sports Hub Bruins Radio Network. Celtics got 34 points from Jaylen Brown and 33 from Jason Tatum. They beat Indiana 119-100 to sweep that home-and-home. Celtics will go to Philadelphia to play the 76ers tomorrow night. Patriots are without Isaiah Wynn and linebacker Jamie Collins at practice yesterday. They'll practice again today. They'll visit Buffalo Saturday night in round one of the playoffs. And the Minnesota Vikings have reportedly requested permission to speak with Patriots senior consultant Elliot Wolf for the job of GM. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Safety Insurance, providing comprehensive coverage for your auto, home, and business. Ask your independent agent about safety. I'm John Wallach in Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 7 o'clock.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
I got so little sleep last night, I'm like, why is the sun not out yet? I've just been living in darkness now for 15 hours.
Because it's not noontime. That's why the sun's up.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's one of those, it's been dark since, a lot has happened since it's been dark. All right. The Celtics played last night, Rich.
They did, and hey, they're back at 500.
Rob Williams finds Richardson cutting in the paint. He shuffles it back out to an open Jaylen Brown. Another three. Timeout Rick Carlisle, but there's nothing left to say.
Yes, there is. Crank the bus up.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have been hearing for weeks now how they can't play together. Tonight they've combined for 65, which is going to be a blowout Celtics win.
Well, it wasn't your typical Celtics game in that after coming out to a big lead, they didn't blow it in the fourth. No, this time they actually closed it out and were able to blow out the Pacers 119-100, a little healthier than they were the last time they played them a couple nights ago. It was also a rare night that both Jason and Jaylen together couldn't be stopped.
Tatum against Jeremy Lamb gets a Rob Williams screen, up fakes the three, push pass for Schroeder, return to Tatum, 5 on the shot clock. Tatum pull up on Turner, another three.
Ooh. Hotter than fish grease.
Yeah. 4 for 4 is Jason Tatum from three.
Mm-hmm. Is Caris LeVert, John, I have to ask you this, is he related to Gerald LeVert from
no.
the R&B
no,
Sensations LeVert?
No. body type slightly
but
different.
But I got to be honest. The people in the musical group LaVert, just a little bigger and a little wider than Karis. Having seen LaVert in concert, that's right, I have seen LaVert in concert.
Did you own the album I Get Hot?
No.
Or did you own Just Coolin'?
Yes, Just Coolin'. I know that song.
Okay.
Yeah, they did that one in concert.
They did Just Coolin'?
They did.
How did Just Coolin'
single
go?
I don't know how it goes.
I know they did the song.
Oh, Gerald LaVert died at 40.
Yeah. A rather large individual.
Is this LaVert?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah.
They opened up for Bobby Brown, Syracuse War Memorial, when I was in college.
I bet that Bobby Brown concert was amazing.
It was pretty good, yes.
If you saw him at the height, like the My Prerogative era.
Yes, that's right where we were, yes.
I bet that was a great show.
It was a good Syracuse show. With all the Bobby Brown fans.
That's right. He was the first performer I've ever seen, him and Janet Jackson, right around the same time, who had the headset.
Yeah.
So they could dance around and not use the microphone.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to give Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, I would imagine, the credit for that. Well, as they were the puppet masters of both, correct?
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So those Janet Jackson and Bobby Brown really didn't do anything. It was all Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. I mean, call it like we see it.
Come on. I had a conversation with, because remember we were talking about Janet Jackson and those, what was it, three albums in a row that had 8 singles each or something crazy like that. I mean, it was, and you totally forget about it. I was talking to my wife the other day, and we were trying to figure out what's happened to Janet Jackson. Like, for being one of the biggest musicians on the planet for a decade, where did she go? And I guess that she married some extremely wealthy guy who was like he was like an oil dude or something. He was from overseas and worth billions upon billions. They had a kid and then they split, and she just said, I'm gonna be a mom, and basically detached herself from everything. So she's just been raising her kid for the last like 5 years, and I guess there's a documentary that's coming out about her and what she's been doing since then, and maybe she's doing a comeback. But Fred, I watched that video you talked about where she brought somebody up from the crowd during the I think it was the Rhythm Nation tour maybe, but she just, I mean, basically molests the guy.
That's right. You showed that to us in the office. I saw that.
So there when she was on one of these tours. By the way, she's got all that good times money, so she doesn't have to work
right
again. I mean, pennies, that's residual checks galore. But she did something on one of her tours at every stop where they would take a guy, I guess, from the audience, because it was a different guy every time, and I believe it was from the audience, and they put him on this rack and tied their legs and arms down. And when I say, she would grab their penises, she would like lick their faces.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't get shocked by much. You know, I've seen almost everything at a concert, but that was. Yeah.
Can you imagine? Because Janet Jackson is obviously very attractive, but can you imagine, like, if you were obsessed with Janet Jackson, and they're like, "All right, for 5 minutes, she's just gonna tie you down and mm-hmm. and molest you." You would be like a hot dog.
People lining up. And every tour stop.
Yeah.
So her net worth, it says, is $190 million, but I think it's more than that. I mean, she married into a ton of money. And
by the way, you know who she was married to? Her first husband?
Oh, Jermaine Dupri.
No. The lead singer of DeBarge.
Oh, yes.
Really?
I do recall
the
that.
The guy, the Who's Johnny guy.
I think they got married when they were like 12, which is strange. Because you would think the DeBarge family and the Jackson family would have it more together than
you
that.
You would think. But yeah, the lead singer they of DeBarge, Elle DeBarge, was married to Janet Jackson in the 80s.
I do recall Elle DeBarge showing up on Punky Brewster.
Oh, I think we have the clip somewhere of that. It was a pinnacle moment in TV history. Yeah, she was with, maybe she didn't marry him, but she was with Jermaine Dupri for a while, and then you kind of look at the way that both of them went. Like, Jermaine Dupri, I think, is broke now. I think he spent all of his money, and because it's funny, we went and started reading about all this stuff. I think it was the same night we were reading the reviews for Magic City, and I think that's how we got into conversation.
You sold down Black Atlanta.
I'm happy. Jermaine Dupri.
What are the black people in Atlanta doing right now?
It was like, because there were pictures of Jermaine Dupri at Magic City, and I'm like, what's Jermaine Dupri been up to? I was like, oh, he dated Janet Jackson. Boy, they went in two different directions. What's Janet Jackson been up to? So,
can you imagine if you met Jermaine Dupri and you didn't know what he did, and he shows up with Janet Jackson?
Oh,
and you would be like, what has this guy done to overcome everything wrong with him physically.
He was with her at the height of her like hotness, like when she couldn't have been any bigger. Yeah,
from the
that's when he was with her.
The movie with Tupac, when that was Poetic Justice.
Yep.
When she had the hat.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to the Celtics, if you want to. All right. I mean,
Randy said it all. I mean, they said they couldn't play together.
They put it all together, for one night. Jason and Jalen played really, really well together. And by the way, Indiana got healthier, too. They got their starting backcourt back last night. They have LeVert, who we were just talking about, and Malcolm Brogdon, who didn't play in the first game, played last night. And so Indiana was much better, too. And the Celtics, other than like a 4 or 5 minute span at the end of the first half, they were great the entire night.
I'm not drawing any kind of line from one thing to the next, but who was not playing last night?
Marcus Smart. Didn't hurt the defense at all last night. Defense was really, really good, unfortunately. Excellent. I love Marcus.
I tell you, as much as I like Marcus Smart,
love Marcus.
There's nights where he doesn't play where you see the defense do what they did last night. And this isn't the first time that's happened. I love the guy. Obviously, he's very emphatic in the way he hustles and dives for balls and things like that. But I'd like to see what the splits are from defensive rating when he's there as opposed to when he's not. Because I don't see them getting, like, blown out. You know, I see him get blown out when he's not, when he is there. But, I mean, I would like you to take a look at that. How big of a difference does he truly make? Because last night, that's some of the best D I've seen them play in a while. But speaking of missing players, we've been talking about moves that are going to be made to improve the team. We'll take this for what it's worth. But according to Hoops Hype, who I'm assuming the writers are totally hype about hoops, the Celtics have expressed interest in bringing back Jeff Green.
Now, that's going to get the crowd going.
Listen, I think one of the biggest problems with this team, Celtics team right now, is this blasé sleepwalking mentality that the Stars have been bringing to the game. I don't think there's anyone with a bigger sleepwalk mentality in the league than Jeff Green.
Jesus,
like, can you think of someone in the NBA that would be more boring to go out to dinner with? I mean, the guy would probably fall asleep in his soup. It just everything about him is like, oh, I'm okay. Yeah, yeah.
Isn't Jeff Green like some physical freak too? Like he was the high school like star or something, and he just is one of these guys that doesn't try.
Danny loved Jeff Green.
Yeah,
was obsessed
true.
With Jeff Green for years. And I know that he went through a hard time with his heart situation, all that still, but it's just Jeff Green is, I look at him, and if you want a culture changer, he ain't the guy. But then a very observant Johnny Wallach yesterday saw that Isaiah Thomas put out a tweet with crossed fingers, a hand in prayer, and a checkered flag, which I think means something, John.
Well, it's good we're going to have Brad Stevens on. We can ask. Are you close to signing Isaiah Thomas? We ask him that every week. So let's keep the streak going.
Well,
what else could that mean? What else? I ask you guys, crossed fingers, and prayer, and a checkered flag.
Indianapolis.
That's true.
He
could be close to signing with Indianapolis. That's true.
Or the Indy 500.
Yeah. Oh, yep.
Yep. That he's praying. Hang on. What was it again? It was crossed fingers.
Prayer.
He's crossing his fingers. He's praying. And then the checkered flag is because everyone loves the Indianapolis 500.
You're right, Fred.
A racetrack that you two have been on.
Yes.
Yep. Correct. I have. Well, the Celtics tomorrow night head to Philly where they take on Joel Embiid, who is just destroying people right now. If you've watched him play over the last month or so, he's in the MVP conversation for what he's been able to do. And on top of all of that, yesterday there was a report of a meeting between Ben Simmons people and the 76ers, and I guess it was cordial.
He said he wasn't going to play.
Sixers are doing their best, man. Their best to come out on top. They're playing a PR game exceptionally well. They're not coming out in the media and saying, Ben should be here, all that stuff, even though this is he's taken this 8-year-old act to, heights I never thought possible. I mean, usually even an 8-year-old comes around after a while when you show him or her logic. This kid, after completely tanking in the playoffs last year and maybe costing his team the series, actually did cost his team the series, and being completely embarrassed about it, has, stomped his foot and stood in a corner for 4 months. It's impressive when you think about it.
John, last night I had to remind myself why he wasn't playing. I had to go back and go.
Oh, you had to look? Okay.
No, I was like, why is he not playing again? Yeah. And then it was just like, oh, yeah, it's because he doesn't feel like it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was
mentally,
like,
oh, he's not able. That's the excuse. Mentally.
Yeah.
He's not ready.
Very weird. By the way, somebody said Jeff Green is the NBA's longest running up and coming player.
Yes, Jeff Green.
That's just the way it's always
been. Brad's going to say, yeah, we've acquired Jeff Green. Okay, great.
Well, at least the Celtics got Nenad Krstić in that deal, too, when they gave away Kendrick Perkins. I mean, you know, they ended up being the winners in the end on that one.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, one of our favorite people joins us.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement, 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.